Success Mat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have a jam-packed show, as always, here on Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona as well. Jake Plummer will be with us at 10:20. We'll visit with Jake. I'm wondering on Jake's end if, as he's looking at the Broncos-Patriots game, if he's more into that. I'm sure he is because he's out in Boulder than he is the Cardinals game. But he's been all over the Cardinals this year. So we'll talk with Jake about both games, which will be fun. And whatever else pops up with Jake Plummer, you just never know. Eric found Jordan Gross, who's the former three-time Pro Bowl lineman with the Carolina Panthers. He's their sideline reporter. Jordan Gross was a great player back in the day, and he does the sideline work for Carolina. And I want to talk to him about, give me more on Carolina without this filtered view of how great they all are and all that stuff. It's just, let's get real here. I donu't know what makes Luke Kuechly so great, the linebacker for Carolina. What is it about this team that they feel like they can exploit on the Cardinals? And Jordan Gross is one of these players, guys. I don't know if your favorite player back in the day was a marshmallow man, like weighing 300 pounds. And then years later, he's down to 230 or thereabouts. Ed Cunningham's the guy that we always bring up on the show. When I was brought in to do my audition like 22 years ago, Ed was there that night. This big old lineman comes in. And he had no neck because he was one of those guys. And now I see him do the stuff on ABC, and I've not recognized him in press boxes at times because he just looks so different. So we'll have Jordan Gross with us. He's done the same thing. Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, because everybody wants to know what the view in Vegas is on the Cardinals, Carolina, and of course on the Broncos and Patriots as well. There's a big event tonight out at Marley's that our buddy Tim Hovick is putting on. And it's the Cardinals' biggest red rage. It's actually starting today in the middle of the day and is going all day long from our buddies over at Santan Ford. So you should check that out, too. If you're wanting to see some Cardinal players in person, that is going to be going on this afternoon and tonight. I'm going to drop in there at some point today to see Tim and company. So that's going on. Eric decided to be with us today, which is nice to see.
Oh, hi. I like your tie, by the way.
You know, it's not a clip-on.
You have a tie clip, but you don't have a clip-on tie. There's a big difference.
No, I know. I figured this one out. I don't know if these are Carolina colors. Somebody pointed that out to me this morning at a dinner breakfast that I was cheering. Like, here's the thing. If I were doing the evening sports tonight, I would get yelled at by the news director, or somebody within management would walk by my desk and say, why aren't you wearing Cardinal red? And I would say, because I'm not part of the team. I'm here to deliver the sports. I'm not here to cheerlead and say we and us, like many people that I'm seeing here in the Valley, and it's embarrassing to our profession when they do it. So there. Do I look like I'm cheering for the Panthers?
No.
Okay.
No.
I wouldn't think so. This is also the buildup to this game. It's been pretty straightforward, I think. You know, we've covered a lot of angles this week through our guests and our content. We'll do it today and tomorrow, too. But this really isn't that hard to wrap your arms around. You know, Carolina's been here. I think Cam's antics on the field, that's part of him. We did a lot on that yesterday. Peter, earlier in the week, Peter King was very good about Carolina and what he sees out of them. There's the intangibles, like the weather. The weather may be a factor in this game. And I don't know if the Cardinals are going to dodge it or not. Going back to my making fun of television stuff, today will be a day where there's meetings where let's build a map. Ooh, when they build a map, and when you have a news director come down the hall and say it's DEFCON 4, and these guys would really do that during monsoon season. We're in DEFCON 2, which means we need you in this place. And this, if it goes to DEFCON 3, then we need to call these people. If it goes to DEFCON 4, you know.
The word Doppler is kicked around quite a bit in these meetings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd be the one that would be in the corner of the room saying, if it goes to DEFCON 4, we're grabbing our butt and we're kissing ourselves goodbye. It's over with. And, of course, it'd be a few spritzes and, oh, well, we got lucky about that. No, you fooled the audience. That's what you did. Let's be honest here.
But the weather is a big deal. It definitely is a big deal.
No, it's going to be a big deal.
I know we talk, we kind of clown on the people on TV for talking about the weather, but this is actually a time where the weather could play a factor on Sunday.
Well, it looks like they're going to dodge it. I don't know if we found a map yet or not. Do we have a map, Jared? Because, oh my gosh, look at this. We have forecasts. And if you scroll down there a little bit, you'll see the colors. Ooh, yeah, the colors. And they'll blow that stuff up. Of course, as you see right now, there's nothing over there. There we go. Now we're talking. Ooh. It could be. It might be. Oh, I don't know if they're going to be able to play. The Cardinals are going to have to fly through some turbulence. Oh, look at that map. And we'll tell you how much rain in 5 minutes. You know, that's the deal. And we'll tell you if the Cardinals ball is going to get wet in the game in 7 minutes.
It rained last year, too, when the Cardinals played the Panthers, but Ryan Lindley was playing quarterback, so it was more of who was under center as opposed to the weather. So.
No, Ryan Lindley.
No offense to Ryan Lindley.
Ryan Lindley was under the weather.
Yeah, so. they didn't have much of a chance last year.
That was a rough day. And tomorrow, and Jared, if you find any bigger ones, when pink starts to show up, oh my gosh. That's when, hey, Brad, you're out at 5:20 today because we've got pink. Okay, got it. It would just be funny when people come running down the hall. We got a new map. Okay, got it. Snow showers on Saturday and northwest wind at 13 miles per hour. See, I think wind is a bigger deal here. And if the field's frozen, they're talking right now, they being weather people, in Charlotte, are suggesting it's going to be mostly sunny, 44 and 27. And 0% chance of rain right now. But if the next couple days, like Friday, is supposed to be freezing rain and wind, 25 degrees the temperature. And remember, the field blew last week. The field wasn't any good. They laid down some sod because they played bowl games and all that stuff. So who knows what the field is going to be like. And then it's supposed to snow on Saturday, 37 and 22. And anyways, if we get any pink, let me know. And if we get like the map that shows moving pink and white, oh, yeah, just throw it up there over me, Jared, at any point in time in the show. I'm good with that. World's got to stop. There's that going on. There's some other things though. And before we get to Jake, is Jake Skyping with us, by the way? Oh, Jake is going to Skype. Okay. So I gotta be hard out here on my times. Last night I watched, some of the Bulls and Warriors, and I bring this up because I don't know if anybody wants to play Golden State here in January. Like, there's a lot being made of how good Golden State is, and they're fun to watch. There's not much NBA that I'll find myself sitting and watching at all, especially in January. I don't know, Eric, are you finding the Warriors when they're on that you stop there for a second?
Maybe a second.
Is that it?
It. I can always see everything on SportsCenter that I need to see from an NBA game.
You don't need 2 hours and 20 minutes?
Like, they just basically run like 90 seconds of Steph Curry making every NBA player look like
he's so good.
Like a junior college player.
He's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, he's unreal.
I was there, and then I was in Bourne last night. I found Bourne. So whenever Bourne comes on.
You were Bourne again?
Oh, man. It doesn't matter which Bourne it is.
Yeah. You're a sucker for that stuff.
Oh, sucker. Big time. Yeah. Me, Bourne. End of sports for the night. So that's
okay.
Where I was.
You know what? We can't watch sports all the time. It's not healthy.
We try to. But so seriously, the Warriors are 39-4. They have San Antonio next Monday night. I will watch that. I have already said on my calendar, I'm going to find a way to watch that.
So, and they the Spurs have a scrimmage tonight. So.
Oh, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Our hometown heroes play them tonight.
Lest we forget.
It's an 8:30, which means it's probably like an 8:45, which means it'll be over by 8:55, don't you think? 10 minutes in, it'll be like 18-4 or some crazy number.
Well, we saw what happened when these two teams played back in San Antonio a few weeks ago.
What do you think Popovich, because you know Popovich with Sarver doing the chicken thing years ago and Robert getting all mad because they didn't bring out their A team for a preseason game. Remember that last year he made a big deal out of the Spurs?
I wonder if he sits some people tonight.
Oh, that's my point.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's like, well, the flight got delayed. We put Tim on Southwest, and he had a C card, and they oversold it, and he couldn't get on board. So
took a bump, yeah.
Yeah, he did. He got the up. He got the. We'll give you the voucher.
Love those.
We'll give you the 200. So,
Manu, but then again, I'm not worth $200 million or however much Tim Duncan is. So.
Manu couldn't make the flight. They oversold it. Let me think. Tony Parker, you know, might have got some food poisoning off the peanuts on Southwest. Something.
They're getting treatment.
That's a good one. Why is it the Suns don't have guys? We're going to hold some players out tonight because they need treatment. Like, if the Suns were getting smart about this.
Well, Markieff took like a 2-week break.
No, Keith's taking a 1-year long break. Come on, let's be serious. This has not been 2 weeks for him. It's been a year that he's been off. He's been on scholarship.
It's sad the Suns have become a punching bag. It really is.
No, it's not. It's going to be more fun than...
No, it's sad.
These next 4 months are just going to fly right by for the Suns. No, it is sad. I never thought of the franchises that we made fun of through the years that it would come down to the football team was always the one that we made fun of. They just were. When they were at Sun Devil Stadium, how do you not make fun of that team? And... some of the decisions they made. And there's a nice story going on tonight with the Coyotes that I'll get to later on in the show. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Jake Plummer joins us via Skype next live. Who knows what's going to happen? That's after this timeout. Here now is Jake Plummer from Boulder, Colorado, where everybody is about the Broncos and the Patriots, but... we're going to talk with Jake not only about that, but also Carson Palmer a little bit, an injured finger trying to get to the Super Bowl with the Cardinals at Carolina on Sunday. Appreciate you coming on board via Skype. Let's start first with the game in your own backyard. What is the feel in Denver about this game, Patriots and Broncos?
Well, you know, it's what they all were hoping for and waiting for, and I've been reiterating throughout the year to be patient and enjoy the process. This team's won a lot of really close games, come from behind in, I think, 7-plus games where they had to overtake the team in the fourth quarter. So they're very battle-tested, and they've spent some time healing when they had a little break, especially Peyton when he was off not playing. He was actually not taking hits. I keep telling me, well, he wasn't taking all those hits late in the year when it was cold. So he looked pretty fresh. You know, it's going to be a great matchup. Again, everybody's just talking Brady versus Manning, but there's a lot of good players on both teams that are going to play big roles. Denver's defense, you know, has to take advantage of any mistakes that Brady might make or any balls that are available for interception or for a turnover, unlike Kansas City, who didn't take advantage of that last week. So when he does make a mistake, you got to make him pay. And defensively, you know, the Patriots are going to find what weakness the Broncos have or a couple weaknesses and exploit them. So it'll be a fun chess match to watch because, you know, Manning loves to make checks at the line of scrimmage and change the play on the field. And Belichick's one of the best strategic defensive gurus in the game. So it's going to be a battle of wits, but also, you know, the elevation and the run game and everything. I hope to see the Broncos gain an advantage late in the game by continuing to run the ball, stay in manageable third downs, really is I think what it's going to come down to, because Peyton can get the ball out quick to guys that are open, but if he's got to make anything off the cuff, any plays out of the structure of the play, then good luck. He ain't going to do that. We know that. So it's going to be a good battle. I'm really excited to see who comes out on top in that one. Hoping, obviously, for the Broncos, not only because I don't care much for the Patriots, but, you know, being for Broncos, being with the Broncos and now with Kubiak, the head coach, hoping to see them make it.
One game to win it all. Manning, Brady, you're the coach. You're the GM. Who do you want?
Ah, man, that's a really tough call. You know, I'm gonna pick Russell Wilson.
Come on, Snake. Come on. You
know,
got it in
Tom ya. Brady. Tom Brady just keeps doing it. You know, he's just so good, and what they do offensively, how they, you know, go at a defense and find their weaknesses. Even a defense that's aggressive and blitzes, they always find a way to slip. You know, in the Super Bowl last year, how many little teeny flat routes did Brady hit to the running back? It was their no-brainer completions that were going for big yards. So you have to go with, I think, Brady just because of his track record in the postseason, how many games he's won. I mean, he's won, what, four? Is it four Super Bowls or he's going for his fourth? You know, the guy's a winner when it really matters most. So I would say Brady.
Jake, is this Peyton Manning's end of in Denver? There's a lot being written about that, that no matter how this turns out, if he wins or loses, this is it for him in Denver. What's your view?
I don't know. You know, my view personally is yes, you gotta eventually move on from the legend, and you know, he is still playing at a high level, a better level than probably half the quarterbacks in the league, if not more. I mean, more than half. He can still get it done, but the whole entire length of the season, I think his age is showing up. You know, he's getting banged up, little injuries here and there are piling up, and the reason I give them the edge this weekend is because for the last 8-9 weeks, he's only been hit a few times, and you know, for an older body, a guy who's been trying to get back healthy, those are hits that, you know, obviously you need to stay fresh and in the flow of the game. But he's fresh. He looked a lot better than he had prior to his injury last weekend. He had a little pep in his step. So huge for him, I believe. And I really hope he can ride out on that big Bronco horse and win a Super Bowl and retire, because I know that he wants to play forever. But he's got kids and a family, and I think he'll enjoy it when he finally hangs up the cleats. Hopefully, like I said, he can go out in style.
Talking about Jake Plummer, ASU legend, former Cardinal quarterback. Of course, always good to see Jake the Snake week in and week out. Cardinals at Carolina. Big picture from your view of this game.
Well, this is going to be a physical game. I think both teams, even though they're in this game, are still trying to prove to the rest of the NFL that they deserve to be there. You know, the Cardinals, for one, it's not a team you're accustomed to seeing, you know, roll this late into the postseason. And for them, they're you know, not trying to still prove themselves, but people kind of go, whoa, wait, the number one offense in the NFL? Wait a second, I didn't know that. And scoring, and it's a whole different team and a whole different belief down there. And I believe with Bruce Arians running the show and his attitude and the way he approaches not only the game but with his players, spending time in the facility a week ago, just kind of seeing the new digs and how they've upgraded everything. And with what Steve Keim and Mike Bidwill are doing, you know, they're building the team that's going to last, I'd like to, you know, think, with keeping Larry Fitzgerald around and keeping the guys that are key to that team there. And then also having a guy like Carson Palmer come fit this system really well, with the ability to stretch the field, throw it up the seams. They got a lot of weapons on offense. So if they give Carson time to throw the ball around, I see them having a big day. But you just can't discount the Carolina Panthers, who all year have been proving themselves.
Right.
One say, oh, weak schedule, this and that. They still went 15-1 in the NFL, and that is no small feat. They won their first playoff game. They should have beat Seattle handily, but Seattle, being the team they are, made a little comeback, which hopefully woke them up a little bit with their hopes and dreams. But Cam Newton, I think, is the difference here. I mean, the guy is just going to make a few plays that we're going to go, whoa, never seen that happen. He's changing the way you view the quarterback position. A big guy that can stand in the pocket but also lean on a defense and get 4 or 5 yards a pop and keep you on schedule. And that's the main thing. That Cardinals D needs to get some big plays behind the line of scrimmage, tackle well, and keep them in third and long and see if Cam can do it from the pocket. And if he does, then, hey, the better player wins. But it's going to be a really, really fun battle to watch. I'm excited to watch that David Johnson kid for the Cardinals, because he's exciting. They never know, you know, what can happen to a youngster in that big of an environment. Sometimes they can be let the moment get too big, but sometimes they can just become a baller that they are. They've been their whole life and do some fantastic things. So hard to say who's going to win that one, but I will be, you know, inside pulling for the Cardinals, just because it'd be fun to watch, you know, my two old teams be in the Super Bowl.
Let me go back on something you said about Cam Newton, and I don't see anybody that's comparable to him at his position in this league. You know, there's nobody of his size that can run like he does. I'm not big on the antics after a 3rd-and-1 first down on his own 37-yard line in the second quarter. I could care less about that stuff. But that's who he is, and that's what gets his mojo going, I guess. Where are you at on Cam and comparable players and how he acts during a game?
Yeah, you know me. I mean, when I was playing, it was, if I was doing anything foolish or celebratory, it was with my teammates. Mm-hmm. It wasn't predetermined or practiced or thought out. It just was spur of the moment. And I'd like to think some of that is with him also, where he's just so excited and is caught in the moment. Every moment in a game is a big moment. You know, we want to focus on the fourth quarter and what you do with the ball last, but, you know, everybody's going to look back and try to pick out a play here or a play there that could have changed the outcome. And I think Cam just gets caught up in the moment, and he is that leader of that team that embodies really the spirit of football, and how I wish I would have played a little bit more with that kind of fun, exciting spirit where he's out there laughing and having a good time, and I can't hate him for that. He's just in the moment. He's a young kid who loves the game, and they want to call him classless Cam and how he doesn't respect the game or his opponents. But you talk about players across the league, they're not offended by that. In fact, it makes them want to play harder and try to stop the guy even more. It just makes everyone a little bit better, I think. And like you said, the moment is when it matters. If it's a big touchdown and late in the game, I'm okay with it. But in the second quarter, tuck it away, save it for the right moment, in my mind. But he's an amazing athlete. We're not going to see another player like him, maybe ever. I keep saying and likening him to Magic Johnson in the NBA, what he did to that point guard position. We haven't seen anybody like Magic Johnson since Magic Johnson, right, who was too big to play point, this and that, but could do anything and all things on the field. And Cam Newton really is he's a superhuman out there on the football field, and it's going to be fun to see what he can do in this big stage.
I just can't imagine Jake Plummer getting a third down and one. Oh, he's got the first down on his 36 and getting up and making the motion of first down and throwing that. I can't see you doing that. I mean, if you had to do it all over again, you wouldn't put that in your arsenal, or maybe you would, but I just can't see you doing that sort of stuff. But.
You know me, I was right back into the huddle, ready to go at it again. I celebrated touchdowns like a madman, but I never had anything. I had some great thought out like celebrations, but during the moment, I'd never remember to pull them out. I'd forget because I was caught up in the moment of celebrating and jumping on my lineman and enjoying that moment, because it really ends. And in 10 years, I enjoyed every single touchdown I was ever a part of to the utmost. And so he has the right to do that. And whether it's respectful or not, that's in the eye of the fan. He's just a young kid having fun. So you don't hate him for that. Enjoy him. Enjoy watching what he's doing.
You rehearsed, but you never pulled it out, huh? So like popping the top off the football and drinking out. Do you remember some of those?
There were some funny, when you're around the locker room and something comes up, you think about some good ones. And, I had a few. I last year was it who was the player that did the drop the ball like he was relieving himself? I'd had a good one when I thought about that, but then I never pulled it off. But the touch that he left off was, when your dog goes in the backyard and does his business, then scratches the grass and kicks. That was the one point he needed to do that to seal up that whole thing. Then we would have thought of him as an animal and maybe found something comforting in that. Because, oh, look, he's a little puppy dog taking a poo on the field. Instead of offending everybody, and saying it's classless and how dirty and blah, blah, blah. These guys are kids. They're football players. Stop worrying about their celebrations and just watch the beauty of what they're doing.
You got anything else? I mean, that's awesome.
That's about it, man. Maybe, we used to spin it and then act like we were around a campfire. That's a good one, but it never happened, Brad. It never happened. All I ever did was run down and rub Keith Poole's calves or hug Frank Sanders and scream something at the stands. I just was in the moment. And that's who I got to think this Cam Newton kid is and this team, the Carolina Panthers, are. And Cardinals, be ready. This is going to be a fun game to watch.
See you next week. Thanks for the visit.
All right, Brad. Thank you, man.
You got it. There's Jake Plummer. Scratch the grass, poo on the field. That is awesome. That's why I love Jake. Who doesn't love that? Who didn't think of celebrations like that? Maybe I'll look at Cam Newton completely different. That was awesome. All right, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Yes, that's making the TV show tonight. We're back with more. Jordan Gross, seriously, from Carolina next, former three-time Pro Bowl Panther lineman. What's the weather like down there? And I'm not just going to do weatherman stuff with him. We're going to talk X's and O's, but it's clearly becoming a story. Stay with us. Let's take a closer look now at the Carolina Panthers for Sunday's showdown. Jordan Gross, former great left tackle with the Panthers, their sideline reporter. He is with us from down in Charlotte. I right off the top, and I appreciate you joining us, Jordan, the weather, how big of a concern is it going to be for the game? Is it going to be a factor Sunday night?
Well, no, thanks for having me on. And as I'm sitting here talking to you now, I've got two layers of coats on because it's been so cold this week out here. It's actually supposed to snow tomorrow, Friday, I believe. But from everything I've seen, at kickoff. It's going to be cold, but I don't think there'll be any other weather conditions to deal with. But definitely not Arizona winter weather out here right now.
Well, and the field was a factor, at least the Seahawks said it was the other day. I don't know if that was just a bunch of crying and whining, but is the field going to be in good shape for Sunday?
Well, by any time you get into the end of January, a field's going to be a little bit torn up. And personally, that's the beauty, in my opinion, of a grass field, is there's a different condition to deal with. The end of the regular season was hard on the field at Bank of America Stadium because we got a ton of rain out here just day in and day out. And then you had a bowl game, you had the ACC championship game, and you had the Carolina Panthers regular season games as well. So it had all been resodded between the home finale against the Buccaneers and this playoff game last week against the Seahawks. But really that sod only had, you know, 10 days to really take root. So it was a little bit slick out there, and I would expect that that'll be the same situation unless the field's frozen, and then, hey, maybe it'll be good footing.
Jordan Gross with us, left tackle when he played for the Panthers at a very high level. The sideline reporter is now for the Carolina Panthers radio network. What do you make out of the Cardinals coming in to Carolina? I mean, you see the Panthers every week, but is this a good matchup in Carolina for the Panthers?
I think that the Cardinals offense poses the biggest threat to the Carolina Panthers defense, and that's due to the fact that our secondary is beat up. We've already lost Charles Tillman and Bene Benwickery, who are our number two and three corners for the season. So now you've got Robert McClain, Cortland Finnegan stepping into bigger roles. These guys weren't even on the team at the halfway point of the regular season. So the Cardinals, as you know, their passing game is tremendous. They've got a lot of great route runners and speed at receiver. And then Carson Palmer, the way that he can thread the needle and hit those open guys, even when they're not open, find a way to get that ball in there, is impressive. So it's going to pose a definite risk for the Panthers defense to not give up too many points. And then you put on top of that the fact that Jared Allen's, you know, doubtful for this game. So we need to find a way to get the front four to get pressure on Palmer, because I would expect that they're going to be dropping those linebackers into coverage to help out the secondary as much as possible.
You know, every guest I've had this week, Jordan, has said the Cardinals are not going to be able to run the football, so they wouldn't be surprised if Carson threw it 50 times. Is that the feeling in Carolina this week?
Well, I'd like to be more unique, but I definitely agree with it. I'm getting ready to go in and do a show for the team right now, and that's what I'm going to talk about, is the fact that last week the Cardinals rushed for 40-something yards against the Packers, and that needs to be the same story this week, is early and often shut down that run game and try to make them one-dimensional. Carson Palmer is just, and you'd almost rather they ran the ball so that it wasn't in the receiver's hands or in Carson's hands, but I don't think that they should be able to run the ball effectively against the Panthers, and then it's going to be who's better, that's receiving core or our secondary.
What makes Luke Kuechly so good? You know, from a distance, we watch him out here with highlights, but we don't see him day in, day out, week in and week out like you do. What makes him one of the best in the NFL?
Well, he's a dedicated professional, and by that I mean the way he lives his life, his nutrition, his training, his film study, his preparation. He really, I mean, you should see the guy's apartment. It's like a studio apartment with a TV, a couch, and a few bottles of water in the fridge. I mean, he has no life other than football, and it really pays off on the field. And then on top of that, you just add his tremendous athletic ability, his speed, his strength, and his intuition is what is really remarkable. The guy can recognize a formation, see a tendency, see a lineman leaning in his stance, and literally I've seen him numerous times this year fly to the ball, to where the ball's going to go before it gets there, on a toss play, on a pass play, a couple interceptions he's had. He just reads them better than the quarterback is reading the route tree. So he's instinctual, he's athletic, he's aggressive. I mean, he's really everything you could ever hope a linebacker to be.
Talking with Jordan Gross, sideline reporter for the Carolina Panthers, former great Panther tackle. He is with us here on the show tonight. When you go over on the offensive side of the football, Cam, we've seen all year long, clearly he's had an MVP season. I'm not going to sit here in Arizona and say the quarterback here deserves the MVP over the quarterback there. I think that your record speaks for itself.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I lost you for a second there, but Cam, as an MVP is what I believe the question was, and I would 100% say yes for that. It's been so fun to be a part of Cam's career here in Carolina. When he came in, I got to play 3 years with him and
see. You knew he had that incredible athleticism. I love to watch guys his rookie year, other defensive players, just be in awe of how big and strong the guy is. And then now to see the way that he plays quarterback, his decision-making process. And what I love about him now is he's figured out how to keep drives alive. And sometimes that's by throwing a check down. Sometimes that's by taking a sack. Maybe it's rolling out, evading pressure, and throwing the ball out of bounds, living to play another down. And I think that's really something that he struggled with early in his career, was not trying to make every play a home run, every play be a highlight reel, or feel like he needs to win the game on his own. He's so great now at spreading the ball around to whatever receiver's open, handing the ball off to his running backs, and making the plays that he needs to.
It's interesting. From a distance, I look at what he has to work with at a receiving as a receiving core, and I believe Carson has more to work with. The running attack that you have, though, has been very good. Your tight end has been terrific. Kelvin Benjamin goes down early in the season, and yet somehow you've gotten this far. It's a real balanced attack, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, definitely. And that running attack is impressive. You know, when Cam's under center, he's got a Pro Bowler. He's taking the ball from. He's got a Pro Bowler to the right of the center, the right guard, Trey Turner. And then his fullback and his halfback are both Pro Bowl players. So they should be good at running the ball with that resume around those guys. Greg Olsen, the tight end, he's a great football player. The thing that's amazing about Greg is that he stays in nearly every single offensive play. He blocks, he runs his pass routes, he's in on screens, on play action, and he's really committed to do whatever role the team needs him to do. And I think that is why he finds ways to get open so frequently, is that the defense sometimes loses sight of him because he's in there blocking so much. And that's really something I think getting ready for the Cardinals, that with Fitzgerald, his role increased as a blocker down in the box. That's let him get involved in the play action game more. I know that our defense is really focused on keeping an eye on him all the time, because he'll block, and then he'll slip out on a route off of that. And Olsen takes advantage of that same type of opportunities.
The feeling in Carolina within the organization, what is it they feel like they can exploit on Sunday to get the victory?
Well, I think that I know that the guys, you asked about the run game, and they've felt good about the run game each and every week. I know that the D-line and the linebackers for the Cardinals are a talented bunch, but I know that every week these guys feel like they can run the ball, especially the way they did last week against the Seahawks. Jonathan Stewart went for over 100 yards, which was the first time in a long time the Seahawks had allowed a 100-yard rusher. And if they can run the ball, then that helps that play-action pass game so much better. That helps keep those safeties in the box, which would allow Ted Ginn Jr., who you know is wanting to have a good game against his old team, the Cardinals, help him, you know, exploit some of the one-on-one matchups down the field. So I'd say it would start with running the ball, and the luxury the Panthers have is that does not mean just handing the ball off to Jonathan Stewart. That's the quarterback keeping it, that's giving it to the fullback, that's end arounds to the wide receivers. It's really a multi-headed or multi-pointed attack that they do in the run game.
Hey, before I let you go on a personal level, and I think your story is really compelling, and we may not be able to get it here in this remaining time. I have a couple of minutes, but you're 34 and you went from 305 down to 235. And I see former players, I've been doing this for almost 30 years, that can't deal with post-NFL. And really, it's to drop that much weight and to function well. Tell me how difficult that was and how you've been able to do it.
Well, you know what? Just like when I was playing, I was very focused in on my body and what I needed to do my job well. I ate a ton of food. I lifted weights really hard. I got the rest that I needed to. And when I got done, it was incredibly important to me to try to maximize my quality of life. And I knew that being 300 pounds wasn't going to allow that. So I really studied up on nutrition and exercise and how your body absorbs nutrients and proper fuel. And I've just really turned it into a very active lifestyle, and my family's bought in, and we all try to eat the right way and, you know, just keep moving. And it's paid off 50-fold of how I would wanted it to. My joints feel so much better. I have so much more energy. And honestly, I'm hoping that I can be still climbing mountains and having fun when I'm 70 or 80 years old. So it's just, to me, it's a mindset and it's a lifestyle, and it's something that I've really enjoyed.
That's good stuff there, Jordan. I appreciate the time and the insight. Thanks.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you.
Jordan Gross there, sideline reporter for the Carolina Panthers, former left tackle. He was a great player at Utah and then went into the NFL and had a terrific career down in Carolina. And we see these guys, they're like marshmallow men. There's some guys that I'll see now, who are you? Oh, you're so, wow, you look so different. Yeah, because I got rid of all of it. And that's good news about the weather there, though, for Sunday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now let's go to Las Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro from the South Point. It's that time to look at Cardinals, Carolina, and New England at Denver. Before that, though, Jimmy, what was the scene like during the Green Bay Cardinal game at the end of regulation and in overtime?
Well, first of all, another dull weekend, Brad, as I'm sure you and your listeners have found out. This stuff is getting out of hand, but it's so doggone entertaining. What are you going to do with it? You usually hear a roar for about 15 seconds when something like this happens at the end of the football game. But in this case, it lasted for 2 minutes. Wow. People throwing hats up in the air. I thought it was graduation at West Point or Annapolis. But it was just incredible. And you saw, you know, just mounds and millions of dollars plus happy or sad fans within a span of 15 to 20 seconds. Just an incredible sight. I keep seeing it, and I keep saying it can't get any worse, but it does.
Is this the best weekend in sports, this weekend?
No, last weekend when you have the two games on Saturday and two on Sunday, just like a double back. Obviously, these games are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I've seen in the papers today all the kids who run the books here, Jay Cornegie from the Hilton, Nikki Bogdan from William Hill, and us people at the South Point. This is going to be the biggest candle we've ever seen for a lot of different reasons. First of all, the appetite is growing and growing and growing. Brad, just for 1 second, you have no idea how many people, when they come to the windows and they're newcomers at this and asking how to bet, who they like, and that kind of stuff, I see more and more and more. So what that simply means is, like, we're creating new customers, and this monster is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So I would say last week, the National Super Bowl weekend is super, too.
Okay, let's go through this then. Cardinals go to Carolina. Let's start with the weather and the view in Vegas, if this is going to impact that game.
Well, you know, it's the same old thing. Everybody's guessing right now. The weather report, they're right about half the time. So you watch it closely. But so far, no great movement on the money. You saw the thing last week or 2 weeks ago when Minnesota played in the -2 weather. Now, at the beginning of the week, a lot of big sharp guys said, you know, this total cannot go up. It did go down, but for the reason of the cold. But, yes, you have your guys stepping in there now, betting if they think they're going to outguess the weatherman, but your guess is as good as mine. But yes, it is watched very closely.
The total and the number in the field, Jimmy, on this game.
Well, first of all, the Arizona Cardinals, they're a dog, and they should be. Carolina opened 3. We've had nothing but Carolina money. Went to 3.5 a little bit, got some buyback, but we're now currently at 3. Total 47.5, and that's going to change, as you said, in the next probably the next 48 hours. But right now, you're a road dog, but you know, you have a chance to win this game. Make no mistake about it. As bad as Carson Palmer played last week, you're in the game. Anytime you're talking about a home field, you know, a 3-point favorite, what we're simply saying is, like, neutral field, pick 'em game, and that's about what it is.
Over on the other side, then, New England to Denver. What's the view?
Same thing, but it's all we knew early on. It was going to be Patriot money when we put it up for a few reasons. First of all, the Patriots are back to their old form. They're getting all their players back. They didn't, you know, crush the Chiefs last week, but they never were in doubt whether to win or lose the game. The Denver Broncos, you'll know that it's not the same Denver team. This number 2 months ago would have been Denver 1.5 or 2, but we knew the Patriot money was going to come in. We opened the game 3. We're currently at 3.5 and nothing but Patriot money, but these games take crazy turns. Quickly, buddy, if you get to the finals, you're going to be a small favorite against Denver. You'll be a small dog against the other side. So it looks to be an entertaining Sunday afternoon.
Jimmy, as always, appreciate it. Good luck at the South Point this weekend.
All right, pal.
Jimmy Vaccaro there from Las Vegas. Appreciate his time and his insight. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Hey, today the number one football recruit in the state, Byron Murphy, is making his announcement of what college he is going to. That's going to happen this afternoon, and we'll have all that content up on our website. And, of course, the television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona across the great Southwest. Brad Sesmat, Football AZ. I'll put some more context on that announcement and regarding recruiting and much, much more on the Cardinals and Panthers. Have yourself a great day.